Well, listeners of this show will know that I am a bit of an old music nerd. So it's an absolute pleasure to have a chat to my next guest. We mix up the show, of course, between politicians and economists and professors, but we always like to chat to some of this nation's finest musicians. And my next guest on the line from WA is absolutely in that category. His name is Cav Tempoli. Now, we're going to talk about his brand new solo single, but you will, of course, know Cav as the frontman for acclaimed Aussie band Eskimo Joe. Cav Tempoli, welcome to the King Review.
Gavin King in the flesh. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, let's talk about the new single, first of all, and go into some other topics after that. But Machines of Love and Grace, I watched the film clip, which has only just been released earlier this morning. Beautiful, beautiful song. It goes from a kind of acoustic, you and an acoustic guitar, more instruments come into it, and it ebbs and flows. Talk to us a little bit about the song, first of all.
This particular song, which is the title track, Machines of Love and Grace, is really about the intimate relationship we've had through our phones over the last 2.5 years. And in the chorus, you know, I'm kind of singing this haunting line, which is, I'll go anywhere that you go. And it sounds romantic, but I'm actually, you know, singing from the phone's perspective. And, you know, really, it's just this really intense time we've been through. We've been able to, you know, have FaceTime dinners with people all over the world. But at the same time, we've kind of got this thing that we're tethered to, and it's almost a bit of a deal with the devil. You know, we can't get rid of it, but it does all these amazing things, but there's also as much evil as there is good involved.
And I must say, from a visual point of view, it's a beautiful film clip, but you yourself, Cav, you seem to be channeling a little bit of, I don't know, 50s Johnny Cash or a little bit of Elvis in the look there. You're looking very sharp indeed.
I feel like that's like a graceful, aging rock and roll gentleman look, you see. You know, if you think about who is a cool, older rock and roll dude, I mean, you look no further than Johnny Cash.
Exactly right. And hey, we're about, as I said off air, we're about 6 months apart in age, so we are not old by any stretch.
Yeah, we're not old. not young either.
Not young, that's right. Okay, so Machines of Love and Grace, will that be the name of the forthcoming album? And talk to us about where the actual album in full is at.
Yeah, so the album, that's the title track from the record, and I'm still kind of recording it, to tell you the truth, and it's this grand, like, every time I go to make a record, I have this grand artistic vision of what it's going to be, but a lot of the record's got a whole lot of duets on it, and it wasn't anything I planned on doing, it just kind of happened very organically, and so I've got people like John Butler, you know, doing a duet with him, and I've got Katie Steele from Little Birdie fame and solo stuff doing a duet with her, and there's another great singer called Siobhan Cotchins, and she's a Perth artist, but these are all people who were just kind of around, you know, in Perth while I was recording this record, and I'd get to a point where I'd get pretty bored and I'd be like, hey man, do you want to come and hang out and play some music? And then they turned into a bunch of duets, which is really cool.
Now you're over in Fortress WA. We've been relatively free here in regional Queensland comparatively. What's it been like as a songwriter? I mean, I imagine you draw inspiration when you travel around the country and the world. In fact, you draw inspiration from your travels and your experiences. I mean, how did being so locked up, more than just about anyone, how has that affected how you've approached your art?
Well, it's very surreal. I mean, we decided to be a band from Perth a long time ago. And the reason why is because we felt a real power in being in Fremantle, especially, and being able to create here. And that really is the fundamentals of being an artist, is like, if you can create something, then you can take that out into the world. But, you know, being in Western Australia, in Fremantle, we are so isolated from everywhere. And you know, and if you don't get a chance to take that art out into the world, you just become a little bit invisible. So it's been a great time being at home and being able to, you know, work on new projects and create new stuff. But I'm so thankful that everything's opened up again and I can actually get out there and play some shows and, you know, start to participate in the outside world again. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really good kind of almost old school, you know, go away for 2 years, create a record and then come back out into the world scenario, which I didn't feel like was happening anymore towards the end of the whole, you know, just before the pandemic hit, I felt like we were living this 24/7 life, you know, and so it was good to be forced into a room to create, but I am more than ready to get out there and start playing some shows again. And we just started doing a bunch of shows with Eskimo Joe again, which has been great. And we're getting ready to do a big tour at the end of the year where we're playing our two albums, The Songs of the City and Black Fingernails Red Wine, which were important records to us. We're going to play them back to back as a big theatre show.
Great, great. That's very exciting. Is that? Please tell me that's coming to North Queensland.
Well, yes. Yeah, so initially we'll do just the capital city. So we'll be playing in Brisbane. And then once we've done that, we'll get out early in the year next year and get into all the regionals.
Play at Tanks. Tanks at Cairns. Beautiful.
Oh,
venue.
I love Tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tanks is fantastic.
Incredible to see that in a setting like the Tanks, that's for sure. Well, let's quickly talk then about Eskimo Joe. This is not your first solo endeavour, but I mean, where is the band at?
Well, we were lucky enough through the kind of pandemic times to actually manage to get two songs out, which was like a miracle. But you know, at the end of 2013, we did an album called Wastelands, and the idea with that album is we were going to do something kind of radical and left of center, and then just go off and do some other creative projects for a while. And I, as you mentioned, I did another solo record and some other bits and pieces. Worked on lots of other people's records as well. Like did a lot of production work, and that's what Joel from the band's been doing a lot of, going really hard on. And Stu has done a whole bunch of stuff, from you know doing folk festivals to working in community radio. And yes, and then beginning of 2019 or 2020, me and Joel kind of sat down and we're like, well, like, how about we write a new song? And we did it, and that was a song called Say Something, and that came out and was just received really well. And then we did another song called 99 Ways, and that was just quite refreshing to put some new music out. And then yeah, everything started to open up bit by bit. We started to play some festival shows again, and then yeah, the plan is this year is to get out there and do this big double album retrospective show, which will be really fun for us and for the fans who've loved those records.
As a muso, do you get tired about playing some of those hits?
I think playing them is fine. Rehearsing them sometimes gets a bit tired.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, but you have to do that. You got to get in there and rehearse. So yeah, look, I think I don't get tired of doing it because, you know, luckily I'm, you know, over to the side, I'm creating new music all the time. And I think that, you know, if you can do that, that keeps you vital as a musician. And I'll never stop writing and putting records out, even if no one wants to listen to them anymore. Just because that's how I'm built, I can't help myself. But I feel like very lucky in the same sense that we have this amazing back catalogue, as you talked about in Eskimo Joe, that we can just jump on festivals and play these greatest hit shows. I really feel for a lot of the bands who have been coming up over the last 3 to 5 years. They haven't really had a chance to go out there and build those audiences and create those greatest hits, you know? Like, a lot of the festivals we've been playing are with much older bands because they're the only bands who seem to be left standing, you know, after the whole pandemic, you know, who can still get out on the road, play a bunch of songs that everybody knows. And I'm sure these, you know, young bands will come up and emerge and build up that catalogue again. But at this point in time, I feel very thankful that we've got that history, you know, that we can fall back on.
Now, we are, of course, in the final days of an election campaign, Kev Templey. Would you like to see, whoever is elected, would you like to see more done to support the arts? I asked, I had Amy Shark on the show, well, 3 or 4 months ago, and she spoke a lot about the lack of support for the arts, the music industry during the pandemic. I mean, would you like to see whoever is elected just pay a little bit more attention to the creative industries?
100%. You know, we have this kind of myth or illusion, you know, that maybe existed for a small period in time that musicians or artists in general go out and they create art and become, you know, billionaires overnight. You know, most people who are working musicians work really hard, like any business, to, you know, to keep the bills paid and to keep out there playing. So, but there's a lot of romance involved. But the arts has traditionally been funded, and that needs to continue. Otherwise, you know, you can't make records. I mean, in this world where, you know, streaming gives you $1.20 for a million streams or whatever,
it's right.
Like,
it's crazy,
you know, the government has such a responsibility, and especially after, you know, something like a pandemic where, you know, we need the artists. That burden falls on them to tell the story of what we've just been through. That's very important culturally. So I would like to see a Minister for the Arts exist again. At the moment, yeah, under the current government, we just have a Minister for Main Roads and Infrastructure, I think it is. You know, it would be great to have an actual Minister for the Arts and to see progressive arts funding happen, and maybe, you know, some money put into the states so they can actually give out grants to their artists, and so they can make records and tour and represent their own states. You know, I could go on all day about this stuff, but I think it's vitally important, and the current government has just pulled out money continuously, and it's got to the point now where we're just limping over the finishing line, I guess.
And as I've said repeatedly on this show, we all turned to the arts. Now, whether that was novels or music or film, whatever it was, we turned to the arts during the last two and a bit years for solace. As you said, it really helped us through. It helped us cope.
How many Netflix series did you consume?
That's right. That's right. That's right. How many albums did you? I mean, it's just, you know. It's,
exactly.
It provided comfort during very dark times. All right, Cav Templey, we covered a lot of ground there, but it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on the new single. People can check it out on YouTube and all the streaming services, of course. Machines of Love and Grace, ahead of an album of that name. Did you say July we can expect that album?
No, July there'll be another single. The NFTs will come out, and then September the full album will come out.
Great. Cav Templey, absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thank you very much for your support. Without people like you, we don't get to do what we do. So thank you very much.